Ahoy there, mateys. Join us for some adventures on the high seas.
And all!
I hunt for a sunken pirate ship that's been hidden in the ocean for over 200 years.
I make my own treasure by turning a bunch of old, ugly rocks into million-dollar gold.
This is worth $250,000.
I take on a whole shipload of pirates to save a damsel in distress.
She's gonna fire!
And Charlie shows us how sailors defended themselves on the high seas with his own cannon.
Woo-hoo! Shoots out straight!
It's Popular Mechanics for Kids, Pirates and Gold.
Every guess what I just got.
A concussion?
No, a treasure map.
Hey, where'd you get that?
Well, I was going to the porta potty, and it was just sticking out of a man's back pocket.
So you stole it?
No. Well, yes. But it's really great. All I have to do is follow the instructions on this map, and bingo, I'm rich.
Yeah, but Tyler...
No time for that leash. I've got a long journey ahead of me.
Tyler...
There. The treasure should be right where I'm standing.
I know.
What do you mean, you know?
Well, look. That's what I was trying to tell you.
For crying out loud.
Well, let's find out what it is. Hey, there really is something here.
Some kind of a lid.
Well, lift it up. There.
Oh! What's that smell?
Oh, great, Tyler. This is a map to where they store the waste from the portable toilets.
Oh. Looks like I'm gonna have to hunt for treasure somewhere else.
Oh.
I'm in the Gulf of Mexico. Right there is Dog Island. Because of its hidden coves, Dog Island was a perfect place for pirates to stage surprise attacks on Spanish ships as they sailed by. That was 300 years ago. Today, it's a perfect place for treasure hunters. This is Chuck Mead. Chuck is an underwater archaeologist. He's looking for a sunken pirate ship.
Hi, Tyler.
Hey.
Tyler, most people don't realize how hard it can be to find these old shipwrecks. Most of the old cannons and gold bars and other archaeological treasures that were lost on ships were lost on vessels hundreds of years ago. Archaeologists have to be like detectives. We have to search through the old history books, search through the old maps in order to try to discover these old ships. Right now, we're on the track of an old pirate ship called the Fox that wrecked in 1799, and we think that we just may have found it.
The Fox was an English boat headed by a fearless pirate named William Augustus Bowles. Bowles was a pirate commissioned by England to conduct land and sea attacks on the Spanish. In 1799, his boat got caught in a storm and it sank. Well, right here.
We're gonna take you to a spot that we located with our equipment here. It looks like we have a ballast pile, or just a pile of rocks, on the bottom of the seafloor. Now, the reason that a pile of rocks would indicate a shipwreck is that in the old days, these old wooden vessels with their tall masts would be very top-heavy. If they didn't have a lot of weight deep in the bottom of the ships, when the wind blew too strong, they could fall right over. So when these ships wrecked, the All the wood would rot away, and all you have left is a pile of rocks with artifacts and cannons and things like that scattered around them.
Yahoo! Let's go dive. My first real treasure hunt. There's the pile of rocks. After 200 years, the remains of a ship get buried under the sand. To find them, we first divide the area into sections. Then we check one of the sections. What we find in that square can tell us what part of the ship we're at. Let's dig. Now, we don't want to break anything we might find. So we remove the sand very gently by fanning our hands over it. Yup, this is the place all right. Rocks, 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 and even more rocks. To dig even deeper, we use a dredge. It's like a giant vacuum cleaner. The dredge sucks up the sand. This box acts like a filter. It catches any artifacts that the dredge might have sucked up accidentally. We'll send everything we find to a lab. Archaeologists have been able to identify pirate ships from the treasures found in the wrecks. Chuck and his team won't find out for a while if this is actually the wreck of the Fox. It might take months or even years. But I can be patient because this is one cool job. What do you get when you mix a bunch of angry pirates with one dashing buccaneer?
Go get them.
An unbelievable adventure. That's later on PMK.
We've all seen the pirate and his talking parrot. But do parrots know what they're talking about? Dr. Irene Pepperberg thought they did, and she decided to find out.
Keychain. Good boy.
How many blue blocks?
She and her students did an experiment. They tried to teach Alex here to understand and to answer questions.
Four.
Good boy. Yeah. What is it?
Nail.
What matter?
Rock.
What boy?
Truck.
Yes, it's a truck. What color truck? What color?
Yellow.
Good boy.
When it was all over, Alex identified over 80 objects and answered questions correctly 8 out of 10 times. Dr. Pepperberg believes that birds may be a lot smarter than we think.
Shower.
Yeah, shower. You want more shower?
Long ago, me bucko, some ship sank to the bottom of the sea with all of their treasures lost forever.
Well, that was then, and this is now. It's Merlin, the remote-controlled sub. When treasure ships are sunk so deep down in the ocean that even divers can't get down there, now there's a way to get the treasure out. While Merlin floats down to the bottom of the ocean, people control it from this room on a ship. You can see what you're doing using built-in video cameras. Merlin's got everything you need to get the treasure out. Robot arms to grab stuff with, a kind of vacuum cleaner to suck away dirt so you can find stuff, even a suction cup to move those big rocks. Found it, a gold bar. There's more where that came from.
Pirates stole their gold. To get it the honest way is a lot of hard work. It takes this much rock to get this itty-bitty piece of gold. Oops. Security's tight around here. I'm here at the Larone Gold Mill. I'm gonna turn rock from a gold mine into pure gold. Do you know how to get from this to this? All right. Torture. To get gold, you have to grind, shake, bubble, poison, electrocute, and melt the rocks. Let's start with grinding. Inside this drum, 33 tons of steel balls crush the rock and grind it into powder. Next, they add water. It makes it turn into a paste. It's called a slurry. It's shaking time. Gold is one of the more heavier metals, so if you put the slurry on a sloping table, the gold slides to the bottom first. And here it is, real gold. But the sloping table doesn't shake out all of the gold. Some of it is still in the slurry, mixed in with another metal, copper.
So it's back to the torture chamber.
We bubble up the leftover slurry, and the copper floats away in the bubbles. Just a few more steps to make a pure gold bar.
I'm standing on a huge tank of poison.
The chemical cyanide is poisonous to humans, but it dissolves gold and turns it into a liquid. Then we electrocute the liquid.
Oh, it smells like pee.
Running an electric current through the liquid gold makes it attach like a magnet to these plates. The almost pure gold on the plates dries into a powder.
Now for the final torture, melting.
Gotta make sure it's only the gold that gets toasted and not me. This furnace reaches 1,200 degrees. That's 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit.
The last impurities float to the top. What's left is gold.
One impressive loaf of bread.
Do you know why it's all worth it? This is worth $250,000.
No.
Alrighty, mateys!
A cannon may have been a pirate's meanest weapon.
Fire!
But it wasn't the easiest one to use. You'll see why as Charlie fires off another experiment later on PMK.
What was the most likely way for a pirate to die? Sword fights? Cannon fire? Burning? Drowning? Nope. Most pirates died from getting sick. You see, pirate ships were wet, filthy, and crowded. Imagine being jammed on a ship with 250 smelly guys for weeks on end. That made the ships a perfect place for bacteria, lice, rats, and roaches, as well as all sorts of terrible diseases. And most pirate ships didn't have a doctor. Injuries and infections were usually treated by the cook. In these awful conditions, it wasn't uncommon for half a crew to die just from getting sick. Pretty gross, eh, Nix? Huh?
Pirates who broke the pirate rules had to be punished. And here are a few of the punishments they used. Marooning was one. That was getting left on a really tiny island with no food or water. Dunking was another. This means being continuously dunked into the ocean for hours. It wasn't much fun. Keel hauling was when they would pass a rope underneath the boat and up on the other side. Then they'd tie you to one end and pull on the other. Many didn't survive this punishment. You may have heard of walking the plank. Actually, that was rarely done. Usually, they just threw you overboard.
Ahoy there, matey! The enemy ships raised their cannons. She's gonna fire! Nice shot. I can patch up my other eye and still fire better than that. Ari, is that the best you can do? Yeah.
Okay.
I know I'm not really in a pirate battle.
All right.
But if I was, it may have gone something like that, because the cannons that the pirates used weren't very accurate. That's because they didn't know anything about ballistics. And ballistics is the science of cannon fire. The cannonballs that pirates used were, well, bumpy and irregular shapes, like this grooved ball here. Just, well, watch. Irregular shapes just won't fly straight. Now, this perfectly round ball. Woohoo! Shoots out straight! Woohoo! Nowadays, with modern technology, we've learned how to make perfectly shaped projectiles, and we've made them even more accurate. by rifling the cannons. That means we put grooves inside the barrels. Those grooves make the ball spiral. And anyone who's ever thrown a football knows that a spiral increases distance and accuracy. Another thing pirates never knew about was muzzle velocity.
Muzzle velocity, say it with me. Muzzle velocity.
Muzzle velocity increases the accuracy and the distance by building up air pressure inside the cannon so that the ball shoots out faster. It's a difference between, well, this and this. Besides not knowing all of this stuff, pirates also had a hard time moving their cannons up and down. Now, this made it very difficult to get the right angle, and angles are important if you want the cannonball to go far. It'll travel a longer distance if you launch it at exactly 45 degrees. Pirates did know a few things about ballistics. For one, they knew to use heavy balls. Because the law of inertia says that it's harder to stop a heavy object once it's in motion. And two, they tried to get as close as possible to their target to reduce the margin of error. What? Ow! Die! Dar!
Hey, you're in trouble now! Alrighty, mateys!
Buccaneers, privateers, they all have one thing in common. They lived and died by the sword. Today, movies and TV shows often recreate scenes where pirates fight each other just the way they did hundreds of years ago. But making a sword fight look real is an art. Bob Warwick is a fight director and works at the Academy of the Sword, the most famous school where actors and performers learn how to fight with swords.
Good. Let's do it one more time. Well, let's do it a million times. You can never have too much rehearsal.
Actors learn to fight by remembering small sections. A defensive move, then an offensive move. Putting a few of them together is called a phrase.
Good. That was good. Good. You know, it takes about 3 hours of rehearsal to do 10 seconds of a fight. Right? Yeah. You can't just expect to go out and do it. Right? We gotta rehearse. So it's safe, and it looks like we just made it up. All right? We're gonna have you do a thrust with a lunge. So you prepare with your sword, you extend, now you wait for me to move, and then you follow me. Go. Got that?
Yeah.
Good. You don't move until I move my leg. I'm the victim, I'm in control. Okay? So eye contact. Prepare. Look at the target. Extend. Follow.
This sword is a theatrical copy of the kind of swords pirates used. The only difference is these edges aren't sharpened and the tip is blunted.
And even though the tip of the sword is blunted, it could still hurt someone.
Okay, I think I'm ready for my big moment.
All right, you know, a fight is a lot more believable when the characters know what they're fighting for. So we're going to help you out. We're going to give you a damsel in distress to rescue.
Are you comfortable up there?
Sir Tyler, allow me the honor of saving this damsel.
Quite well, my friend.
Avast me, hearty! Prepare to repel boarders!
Go get them?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Yeah!
No, I won't do it again. Please, let me go.
Bob?
Tyler, that was great. You did everything just the way we rehearsed. Perfect.
But who is this?
Sorry, that was the only person we could get on such short notice.
My hero.
He was supposed to shave.
Well, that's all the time we have today on PMK.
We hope you had a really good time. And I, for one, got some really cool stuff at the pirate souvenir shop. This parrot and Captain Hook's oven mitt. Oh, yes.
Hey, where'd your parrot go?
He's programmed to fly away.
Well, it looks like he left you a souvenir of his own.
Ew!
You're just lucky pirates didn't have pet cows. See you next time. Yeah.